I'd like to go to my message to you this morning. And my scripture reading is in Leviticus. So if you would, go back to the first part of your Bible. Turn through the first few books and get to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour, baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread, you shall present 7 one-year-old male lambs without defect and a bull of the herd and 2 rams. They are to be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. You shall also offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs 1 year old for a sacrifice of peace offerings. The priest shall then wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering with 2 lambs before the Lord. They are to be holy to the Lord for the priest. On this same day, you shall make a holy proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for all of the things that you've done for us in the past, for those that you're doing for us right now, and those that you have in store for us in the future. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace. We thank you for your plan of salvation. Heavenly Father, bless these words and thoughts that we will bring and help them to help each of us as you would have. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. My text is a couple of those verses. In the scripture reading, Leviticus 23 and 16 says, "You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord." And of course, it's talking about the foundation being the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread. And it's talking about 7 complete Sabbath days from that point in time of Passover and unleavened bread. You count 7 Sabbaths, and then the day after the 7th Sabbath then is the day that we know as Pentecost, that New Testament day of Pentecost. In the verse 21, "On this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations." My message to you today is Pentecost. What is it? How often does it come? Is it for us today? Was it part of the New Testament church? Was it part of Jesus Christ's teaching and his practice? Did he keep the day of Pentecost? Did he keep the other feast days? Did Paul keep the day of Pentecost? Did he keep the other feast? We don't want to find these out. But the first thing we find out is that Pentecost has to do with the word 50. 7 Sabbaths a period of time, seven Sabbaths, seven times seven, 49. And then the next day being the plus one, 49 plus one, 50 days. Always comes on the first day of the week. What do we say then? We've got two straight Sabbath days? Is that what we have? We got a Sabbath day right now. Plus one is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Does that mean Sunday is the Sabbath? Is Sunday the weekly Sabbath? No. Can Sunday be a Sabbath? Yes. Or any other day of the week that God makes it. If God makes the day a Sabbath, it is a Sabbath. It doesn't matter when it comes. How often or anything else. God is God. He can say whatever He wants. And we need to abide in His truth. We know that in the New Testament, Jesus told His disciples ahead of time. He breathed on them at a time and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He meant receive you the power and presence and indwelling of Almighty God. The Spirit of God will come upon you as you wait, as I instruct you to do, for power on high from God to come down. The New Testament day of Pentecost was that day that's recorded in Acts 2, that the Holy Spirit, as of fire, fell from heaven, and it lit upon the ones that who was to receive it. And miraculous things were seen, and miraculous things were spoke, and miraculous things were heard. We read in God's Word about His Holy Spirit, that baptism of God's Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost that we will celebrate tomorrow, that actually ushers in tonight, this afternoon, at sunset, begins the day of Pentecost. It is a Sabbath day. It is a day of assembly. It is a day of no laborious work. A day of rest. A day of recollection. A day of celebration. A day of joy. Just as is today. And God gives us two of these. Back to back. In fact, it happens every year. Every year, Pentecost is on the first day of the week. And that, in essence, does make that first day of the week holy. It makes it special because God said it. He brought it about. When we look in God's Word and we see the things that is recorded by Jesus Christ, we see that the Holy Spirit is spoken of in several different ways. The Holy Spirit is given in some places and the word used, the Holy Spirit. In other places, it is called the Holy Ghost. In other places, it is called the Spirit of Truth. All one and the same. It is God's Spirit that comes to us, that is a gift that is available to us, and God will not hold it back from any that ask. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was given in the New Testament to the new church. It is recorded in Acts 2. They were baptized. What does that mean? When you're baptized after you receive God's plan of salvation and the hope of eternal life, in fact, the certainty of eternal life as you remain in Him and abide in Him all the days of your life, it's certain He is yours and you are His. When you become baptized, you go out to ordinarily and usually, you go to a body of water somewhere, and you go underneath the water. The water immerses you. You are immersed in the water. As you are baptized with God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes to you in a miraculous way. It fills you up and overflows you. The baptism of God's Holy Word. And as recorded in the New Testament event in Acts 2, we see that there was miracles at this great day of Pentecost that we are speaking of. The miracles was that each man heard in his own language words from God. Now, what's the miracle in that? The miracle is that you had men from many, many different countries and languages all there in celebration of this feast. This was known well ahead of time, been having done for hundreds, even thousands of years. And we find that these men, many different languages, many different countries, but as these people were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, each person from all of these different countries, all of these different languages, each heard God's Word in their own language. It was a miracle of hearing. It was also a miracle in speaking. Because the ones on whom the Holy Spirit fell, they spoke the languages so that all of these people that were there gathered, that heard the commotion of this particular service and gathered around to try to find out what was going on, then the ones upon whom the Holy Spirit fell were speaking languages that all of these other men could hear. It was a miracle in the speaking. It was a miracle in the hearing. And what exactly was it that was being spoke when the Holy Spirit fell? What exactly was said? Did you know that God's Word gives you a very definite clue as to exactly the things that were being said through tongues? And we would say foreign tongue, strange tongue, depends on how you look at it. But each man heard in his own language and understood. This speaking in tongues was understood because it was given and heard in the person's own language. And what was being said? In Acts 2 and 11, it says this. What was being said was that, speaking of the many deeds of God. That's what the message was. That's what the speaking in tongues was. Is that each man heard about the many deeds of God. Do you know what time of day? Do you think that it's recorded in God's Word? What time of day this miraculous event happened? Was it at night? Was it at noon? Was it in afternoon? God's Word lets you know the time of day. And let's look in Acts 2 and 15. It lets us know that it was at the third hour of the day. Acts 2:15. The Holy Spirit came down as fire at about 9 a.m. in the morning. This was the time that the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And they heard at that moment in time, each man from many, many different countries and many, many different languages, each man heard of the mighty deeds of God. And everybody else, no matter what language or country they were from, they heard the same words in their language of the mighty deeds of God. I would like for you to know some of the background. I don't think the word Pentecost, I don't believe, occurs in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament word that had to do with the timing, had to do with the figuring of the 50 days. And therefore, it was translated, and we came to the word Pentecost. But it was called earlier in Exodus 34, 22. Can we get that? Exodus 34 and 22. And you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the turn of the year. We're talking about the word Feast of Weeks. That's the same as Pentecost. Same day, same point in time, same celebration. But it's called Feast of Weeks. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and 10. Deuteronomy 16 and 10. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. Isn't that interesting? We have times of the year within these feast days that we are to come and present ourselves before God. And the Word lets us know that we are not to present ourselves empty-handed. What does that mean? Bring an offering. Bring it as God blesses you. So we're saying that the Feast of Pentecost is also referred to in God's Word as the Feast of Weeks. Okay? What also can we say that that has to do with? Well, Feast of Weeks can have to do with the period of 50 days. It can have to do with the period of 7 weeks. Remember, you count 7 Sabbaths and then you add one. So, you get the idea of Pentecost being also Feast of Weeks. It also has to do with the harvest during that part of the year. Remember, during Passover, we have the days of unleavened bread. We have the day when the priest was to wave the first fruit offering before the Lord. Okay? That was the barley harvest that we're talking about at that point in time. But it's approximately 7 weeks from the barley harvest to the end of the wheat harvest. And so, therefore, you see the idea that we're talking about and a period of time in which harvesting is going on. Do you know that God had a perfect plan in sending His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? That Holy Spirit was to give power. Power from on high. You notice after Peter received the Holy Spirit? Was he the same kind of person after that he was before? He forsake Jesus Christ at his greatest time of need. You might say Peter was a little bit of a wimp in those days. But what happened after he received the power from on high? After Pentecost, he became a mighty warrior of God. He became a person that was to lead many to Jesus Christ. And what happens after the Holy Spirit comes to you? And God blesses you with that overflowing of His Spirit within you. Do you see the power that comes upon you? And do you see the correlation there? That power from God is given to you to then go out and help in the harvest of souls to God Almighty. He gives power. Power comes with the Holy Spirit. Power comes with more of God abiding in your heart and life. And that's what we have to seek for. And that miraculous day that we're speaking of, very different from any other recorded day in which God's Holy Spirit was given out almost without measure, to the point of overflowing. And to me, that's what I love to think about when I think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. More than you could hold. Much more than any of us deserve. But as we ask God, He will provide that gift for us. Pentecost is a feast of weeks. Pentecost is also referred to as the feast of harvest. Exodus, could you go to Exodus 23 and 16? I've got some other scriptures that I'm going to give you toward the end of the message. I want you to be ready to write them down because I'm going to give them quick. And I want you to write them down because they're important as to whether or not these feast days, whether or not these days of festivity and celebration, whether or not they are for us today, whether they're for New Testament Christians. And of course, the answer to that is yes, they are for us. Exodus 23:16. Also, you shall observe the feast of harvest. Different. Pentecost, feast of weeks. Now, feast of harvest. Of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Okay. Now we'd like to go to Numbers 28 and 26. Numbers 28 and 26. All of these, Pentecost. Different thoughts, different designations, but all the day and the time of the year and the event. Numbers 28, 26. Also on the day of the first fruits, when you present a new grain offering to the Lord in your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. That means assembly. You shall do no laborious work. The day of first fruits. Do you see? Gathering in of the harvest. You get together the first of what God blesses you from your fields. God's going to bless you as you abide in His truth, come to His truth, stay in His truth. God's blessings are to you just as much as it ever was to any other of His children. You are part of God's family. You are His children. You are heirs to everything that His Son is heir to of His Father. And our loving Father will not hold any good thing from us. He has salvation for us. He has the gift of His Holy Spirit for us. He has eternal life for us. They are all gifts. They are all ours for the asking. Let's go to Acts. We're going to the New Testament now. And there's three places in the New Testament where the word Pentecost is used. Let's go to Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, if we know that Pentecost is not the Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath. We know that it's not necessarily a weekly Sabbath. So why was these early Christian people gathered together on the day of Pentecost if the feast days and these days of celebration and festivity, if they're not for the early church, why was this said? And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And you know, it says in the King James Version that they were in one place and in one accord. Was there disunity there? If there had been, the Holy Spirit would not have come. Was there disharmony? No. They were together. They were in unity. They were in oneness of mind and intent and purpose. Acts 20 and 16. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus in order that he might not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Why would Paul be hurrying to get to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost if the feast days was foreign to Paul and was foreign to the New Testament church? Why is this there? Because we know it is all very much pertinent and relative to Christian people. Let's go to First Corinthians 16 and 8. But I shall remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Those are three instances where that word is translated, Pentecost. And it's in the New Testament. And it's New Testament church and Jesus Christ and Paul, New Testament people, all recorded that this is what they were doing on that particular day of the year. There were three principal feast days in the Bible. I'm talking about principal feast days in the Bible at different points in the year. The Bible explains on each of these three different principal feast days of celebration in the year, all young males was to present themselves before God and was not to be there empty-handed. I believe that all of us are under that same kind of obligation today. I believe the Word makes it clear. God expects the same out of each and every one of us. Those three principal feast days of the year that set up above all others are Passover Day, Pentecost, so we're at the second principal day of the year right now. It is tonight at sundown. It is tomorrow. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. We need to know that all of these are relative. All of us, all of these are necessary. All of these are important. They are for us today. Now I want you to be able to copy down these verses and take them home. Read them. Study them. And ask yourself questions concerning not only the day of Pentecost, but the day of Passover, the day of unleavened bread, tabernacles. They're all connected. You can't disconnect even the weekly Sabbath from these other days. You can't disconnect the Passover from the other days, from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They all go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Prove it to yourself. Ask yourself, is these days of festivity for New Testament Christians? That's an important question. Is Pentecost pertinent for you? Something you should do. Take, in fact, super serious. I'm going to give you these scriptures real quick. I want you to look them up, study them at home. Ask yourself some of these questions that I've just gave to you. And I'll give you this question. Did Jesus celebrate the feast days? Well, if Jesus is our prime example, if He is our example, then if He did it, why would we not be doing it? Did Paul celebrate the days of festivity? Paul is a primary writer in the New Testament. If Paul was just about what you'd call the number one minister or preacher, not counting Jesus Christ, if he did it himself, why would we think that we're not to do it? Because mainstream Christianity tells you that the law was done away with, that it's just for the people of the Old Testament. We know that's not true. We know that Paul himself said from last week's messages, the law is holy and just and good. Paul did not contradict himself. Did Jesus celebrate the feast days? Yes, he did. Here's your scriptures. Matthew 26, 17 through 20. Luke 2, 41 and 42. And chapter 22. Okay, I said it was going to be quick. Okay, let's start again. I don't want you to miss them, but we're not going to read them because it'll take too long. But they are important. Okay. Now this is about Jesus. Did he celebrate the feast days? Matthew 26, 17 through 20. Luke 2, 41 and 42. And chapter 22, verse 15. John 2, 13 and 23. John 5, 1. John 7, 10. And John 10, 22. All about Jesus celebrating these days of festivity. Did Paul also? And we say, yes, he did. These are your scriptures. Acts 18, 21. Acts 19, 21. Acts 20, 6 and 16. Acts 24, 11 and 17. Everybody get it? I hope so. Huh? Acts 24, 11 and 17. Now that's the Apostle Paul. That's Jesus Christ celebrating in the New Testament, in the new church, these days of festivity in which they are joyful, in which Jesus Christ adds to meaning concerning some of these days. Pentecost. Day of celebration. Important day that God's Holy Spirit was poured out as of being baptized upon the ones who was to receive it. Pentecost is important. It is important because all of these feast days are to recognize your Heavenly Father as the provider that He is. Will He lead you? Did He lead His children Israel? Did He take them through miraculous things? Did He take them through the water to the other side? They were walking on dry land. Did He provide for them with food and water? Did He sustain them? Did He ever leave them or forsake them? That same God that was so true and loving and a God of providence to the children of Israel is that same God that you serve. The same God that you react to, that wants you in His family. All of the blessings of God comes to you just exactly as they did to the children of Israel. Because you are now God's children. You're God's chosen people. You're number one in God's eyes. And He loves you and He has everything for you. Stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much.